Thank God somebody's being honest today. Because usually y'all don't respond at all. I'm like, have y'all ever done that? Crickets. Not us. We're holiness. We've never done that. Right. But I have. I'm not going to go into great detail, but I was at a funeral of my own loved one. And I heard people say I wanted to kick shins. I know how you've had this happen before. No. Get out of the line. Move it. You're wasting my breath and my time. I'm grieving here. You come up with this silly goose stuff. I mean, honestly, you've been in a situation where somebody said something stupid? I mean, even gave you some scripture that didn't even have math to it? Oh, Jesus wept. What's that got to do with what I'm going through? I have. I've been in shock before. One time I was praying, not here, but somewhere, and somebody come up wanting to smack me around and tell me to speak in tongues. I just opened my eyes and looked at them. This the time for tongues? I'm seeking God for repentance. We don't think. And we just give people scripture. And how do we learn about scripture? We walk it out. Just like the disciples. And like I say, it's after they seen him feed the multitude with that little sack lunch. And here he tells them to go to the other side. And here they're rowing and rowing. They're being obedient in what he said, do. And the more they row, the more the wind blows them. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. But until you see him walking out on your storm, you don't know. But it's in walking like they did and continually trusting God. And then in my mind has went over these two questions that God himself asked two different people. In the garden, he said to Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? Because he said, did you eat of that tree? Did you sin? And if you did, who told you you did? See, sin will make us try to hide. It makes me think sometime in here during church service how people run in and run out. They come in and get their shout on, woo! When we don't see them pray, then they run back out. And if the preacher goes 1 minute past what they think, they get fidgety. Every baby got to go wee-wee. They rip up the carpet trying to go out. They looking on the Google. They're talking. Kids are screaming, ripping people they want out. But can't be patient and hear the word of God, because God, during preaching, this is what God is saying. Where are you? Well, I'm walking in the garden. Where are you at? I'm walking in the garden. I can walk in heaven all day long, but I'm walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Where are you at? And then he says to his disciples this other question. After he had said to this group of people, you're going to have to drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, they was like, this is too hard. We can't take this. So they walked away. So Jesus looked at his remaining disciples and he said, you walking away too? And Peter said, where can we go? Where can we go? So I want you to think about the two questions this morning. Is God saying to you, where are you? Because you cannot live in sin and have a continual sin and stand strong in the Lord. No, you can't. You'll be double-minded. Oh, you look pretty in here with your holiness attire on. But your hands will be dirty. You'll be dirty. And you'll want to lift them up, but you can't seem to get, I don't know. Some songs they do, I don't want to lift my hand. One song the sister does, it said, I never lost my hope. Is that what it is? I don't raise my hand to that. I stand up because I honor it, but I don't raise my hand to it because I've lost my hope. Hey, my ship has sunk 100 times. And I'd feel I'd be deceiving myself and lying to God if I said, oh, I never lost my hope, because I have. But I thank God for people that hadn't. And I look up to them and admire them that they've been able to hang on through the storms of life. And here I've jumped overboard many times. Don't shout me down. You done told on yourself earlier, so I'm watching. We a team now. But it's hard. It's hard to stand strong in the Lord when you got sin in your life. And we'll see that the two questions. Is God calling you? Where are you? Or is he saying, are you going to walk away too? Because I got nowhere else to go. I mean, it got so bad back there. What in the world would I go back? Hey, them people don't even want me back. Hallelujah. Hey, I say when you cross over, just go on. Go on, cross on the river. Just keep going. Hey, Joseph, run. Joseph, run. That's me. Leave your coat. Let them have it. Run, honey. Run to Jesus. All right, we'll move on now. We got that all situated and took care of. We'll go to James chapter 4. Lord, I know you're with me. I love the book of James. Like Pastor Dan last week. Man, did he get all over me. I was like, that didn't hurt. I don't know why you're hiding in my closet, but come out of there. Help me, brother. I love instruction, though. Hey, if it was all pie and cake, we'd be on TV, wouldn't we? Oh, if it was all fluffy and sad and everybody was going, we'd be on TV. We could wear beautiful robes. I could wear nicer clothes. We're on TV. That don't mean we've made it. There's a lot of people on TV going to hell. Not everything on Google's right. That's sad right there in itself that people would think that. Could we find James chapter 4? Is it we on there? Oh, look. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't that sound easy? We could just pass that out on a promise card. There you go. Just resist him, honey. Submit to God. Ta-da. Let's all go home. Let's just sit here and wait for pastor. It's all we need. But you know, if nobody tells us how to submit, because listen, as a woman, I can tell you submission was the, hey, coming to Christ was easy, but when he started talking about submission, that's when my palms got sweaty. What? Submit? Me? I tried that once before, Lord, and it just didn't pan out. And he said, submit to your husband. Huh? Let me play back that when we got married. I don't think that preacher. Yeah, he did. And I agreed to it. Because when we got married, you know what I said? I do. But you know, when you're in the midst of everything, it all sounds good, don't it? You got your dress on. You're standing there in front of the preacher, and he's talking. And he says, submit, and you're like, oh. I do forever. And then you go on your honeymoon and your husband forgets your luggage. And you start having a meltdown. I cannot believe it. And your husband's like, what'd that pastor say? Forever? Is this how forever's going to be, girl? I'm taking you back to mama's. But that's how we'll do with God. We'll say, I'm going to commit my life and give my life over to you. And then when he starts saying, then give it here. Give me your bedroom. Give me your closet. Give me your money. Give me your friendships. Give me your relationships. Give me your time. We start backtracking. Now listen, I gave you my heart in salvation. But this other stuff now, my money is mine and I worked hard for it. But when he starts saying, I want a tenth of it. Hey, you know what? I want more than a tenth. I want you to give somebody something. Well, we don't think they deserve it. I didn't ask you that. I said, give them something. And then submission. That's where the rubber meets the road right there, honey. When he starts asking, it all sounds, every song they sing here sounds pretty. But there's a meaning under it, and there's something connected to it. Remember what he said in the Old Testament? If my people, who was his people? We are his people. If my people will humble themselves. But you know what? In order to submit yourself, you got to humble yourself. I might not think that my boss and my husband is always right. But you know what? Whatever happens, it's on them. I am to submit. I really never knew what righting was till my boss told me I could start one. He was giving us a lecture. Now this year, you won't be getting a raise. Well, you know, my nose spread right then. My ears were, oh, no, he didn't. Now my boss knows I'm talking about this morning. You can call him tomorrow. He won't answer you today. But I got everybody riled up at work. Girl, riding around that suburbia. Got a brand new house and he gonna tell me that I ain't getting an extra quarter? I got everybody in the building. I'm just being honest, honey. Just telling the truth here. So he comes back to me. He's like, you could get a riot started. I was proud of it. I was like, shh, don't forget it. Give me my money. Manipulation. And then on the way home, I was like, oh, my God. I just went against him. Here, I'm supposed to submit. It's his name on the door, not mine. I'm supposed to work as unto the Lord. See, those things are easy till it comes time to do that thing. Oh, everybody can say, trust in the Lord. Oh, trust in the Lord, honey. Well, it ain't your bills due, is it? Hey, it ain't you they just gave the pink slip to, is it? Oh, everything's, hey, we can come up here and pray for all. Lord, just help them, God, and heal them. But when we get the call from the doctor about our own self, that's a whole our kids look great. But other kids, we just send them on to hell, don't we? Boy, you let our favorite poo-poo, you let him get in trouble. And we'll say it's everybody else's fault. But let his kid get in trouble. Now, we always knew that boy was going to be trouble. I'm just saying it, honey. I don't live in the dark. I live in the light. It is sad, though, that when we look at ourselves, we see beautiful and holiness. But when we look at somebody else, we criticize everything there is about them. And especially people don't know. People just come into this doctrine or into the truth or into the light or into this church. We start making judgments right off the bat. We don't even give them a chance. We just give them the eye. My first time here, I got the eye. I did. I gave it back. You should have stopped me at the door. I'm in now. Yeah, I was in. Tina invited me. I'm in. It was this month, 4 years this month. I creeped in, sat right over there, looked around. I was like, what is going on at this place? I'm scared. I've been looking for this all my life. Now that I've found it, what do I do now? I was like, is it real? I'm going to just watch and see. Oh, I think it is. I hear somebody speaking in tongues. Woo! Because I'd been to other churches and thought that. Oh, look, they got the whole... No, they don't. Okay. But it's hard to stand strong in the Lord and got sin in your life when you're cruel and judgmental about other people, when you don't give other people a chance, when you shut your door and say, my four, no more. Okay, we'll move on then. Back to James. James chapter 4 again, honey. I'm sorry. Look here. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to him. First, he wants us to submit. And you know, even the devil, if you look at verse 7, even the devil knows when you're submitted because he'll flee. Ain't that something? Even that old sly slew foot booger, he even knows when you've submitted to God. He'll flee. But you got to resist him. We can't submit to God and flirt with the devil. Huh? I can't be married to my husband and make goo-goo eyes at some other person, can I? Well, that's adultery, ain't it? When I start playing with other things in my heart, then we start cheating on God. We start dabbling into things that has nothing to do with the Word of God or the people of God. And that's why we have to submit. And it ain't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. Every morning when I get up, I got to submit. Lord, I submit this day unto you. Charles, I submit my life to you. You're my husband. When I get to my job and I clock in, guess what that says? I'm submitted to my boss. If he wants to start and work the whole thing backwards, you know what I got to do? I got to work the whole thing backwards because it's his company and he writes my check. And if it goes awry, I can go on home. And he can clean the whole place up. That's good about submission. I think it's wonderful. Hey, when my husband makes a choice and I don't think so, but he's made his mind up. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to Starbucks and the Salvation Army. Because it ain't on me, it's on him. And that's how it is with God. When he tells you to get in the boat and go to the other side and you keep paddling and paddling and paddling and the winds keep blowing does not mean he did not tell you to go. But everything he tells you to do is not going to be easy. And submission is not easy. It's not easy. Listen, Paul, when he was on the boat and the hurricane come, he didn't look up to heaven and say, "What is this about?" He didn't. He went down in the bottom of the boat, which I don't know about you, but if you've ever been on a boat in a hurricane, the bottom ain't the real good place to be. I say near the life preserver, that with 10 of them on. But he went down there. I can't believe you done this to me. I thought you told me this is what I was supposed to do. And here I done it. Look what's happening. All this going on up here, we've thrown everything overboard. He wasn't doing that. He was down there praying, "All right, God, now what? What you want now, God? What do you want me to do? Will you speak to me, God, so not I can save my own life, but the lives of these men on this boat? Because, God, I'm a Christian, and my life is important, but the lives of these other people, they're important. Because if I'm able to stand strong in the Lord, other people will see it. Other people will see it, and they will start believing in God. There's got to be something to this. And not just stand strong, but in the power of his might. But it's walking it out that we see the power of his might. And you know, the day that I got saved, that was the first day that I seen the power of his might. And I was so blown away. I mean, I had lost my mind. I couldn't remember a social security number. There was a lot of things I could not remember. I won't delve into all of it. But when I heard Christ and I said, If you can do anything with any of the, what do you want? What do you want? I'll give it to you. And I went from darkness to light in a second. See, I seen the mighty power of God. And I said, this is something you could submit to. Until he said, "Hey, I need you to move out of this house and go to that one." What? I like it here. I got a job. Sin is here. I need you to go there. Huh? But you know what I had to do, just like the disciples? Okay, no. I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm believing what you said. And then when I got to the next place, he had prepared another place. Like my husband says about some sinners, they need a Moses to lead them out. And God was trying to get me to a Moses who could lead me out because he knew I could not walk it out on my own. Not the life that I had lived. I needed a Moses. I needed a strong man to come, and it was my brother, to come and say, sis, this way. So little by little, God helped me to trust other people and helped me to trust him. But you know, every time I failed, he didn't whoop me or send me out. He didn't put me in time out. He helped. He picked me up and he dusted me off and he said, follow me, honey. I need you to start learning what my voice sounds like because my sheep follow my voice and another they won't follow. But you know, my brother put in me, you got to read the word, read the word. So here the Lord was giving me all this help, the word of God, a good preacher, a good friend, a good family member, good people in my life, and his love to help me come. So you know what? So I could stand in the Lord and the power of his might. But we can't put a high expectation on other people. Everybody don't move the same. I'm sure some of you could have probably breezed through college, while other people struggle to get out of the 12th grade. And thank God for people just give you a diploma and tell you to leave. Just leave. Here's an A for whatever. Just please get out of our school. Get out of our state, if you would. Here's a check. Here's a plane ticket. And just think, my principal was a holiness preacher. And so was my daddy. Oh, the principal was so happy the day he gave me that diploma. I was just thinking, he's probably going to speak in tongues as soon as I walk off the aisle here. But he didn't. He just smiled. And took a picture. Yes, get her out of here. But I love the man. I just was rebellious. All right, let's move on. I got excited about that. Well, let's move to Romans. I'm sorry, let's go back to James. Honey, I'm everywhere. You can give me the eye. I couldn't see it, but you could give it to me. In verse 8, it says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And you know, that's what he longs to do, is draw nigh unto us. And he's constantly knocking. He's constantly knocking on our heart's door. Can I come in? Hey, I know you're a little busy, but can I come in for a few minutes? I see that you're trying to conquer everything else in the world, but if you don't mind, I'd like to come in for a few minutes. I'd like to get involved in your life a little more than what I am besides on Sunday. He's knocking on Monday. Tuesday, there he is, still a knocking. Friday, he's really putting it to it. Hey, can I come in? But you know, a lot of times, here's the bad thing. The only time we open the door, sometimes we get in trouble. Then we open the door. Oh, God, where are you? We want him then, don't we? That's right. He says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's the kind of scripture I want people to give me. I can get that. If somebody walked up and said, clean your hands and your heart, you double-minded, I could take that. That's what my boss man said. You could start a riot. And at first it was funny. Then later on it wasn't funny because I'm a Christian. I ain't supposed to be rioting. And I ain't supposed to cause other people to riot. I'm supposed to cheer other people on to Jesus, not cause them to go against God and against his house. You know, that's one thing about church. If there's a problem in the church, it's a good idea to not go out and tell everybody what's going on. Darken the name of Jesus and darken the name of the church. And usually what's going on ain't none of our business. It's that tall guy that stands up here. That's his business. It ain't none of mine. And nothing's worse than somebody running out the church building and telling a bunch of stuff outside of those doors. And I think sometimes we ain't got enough, we don't pay attention to our own business. We start dabbling in somebody else's means something's wrong with our house. I knew a woman, she kept aggravating this lady about her husband until her husband peer left. I said, sis, I think you should have been more concerned about this guy. That's her guy. If I'm trying to fix her husband, what's going to happen with mine? I need to take care of mine, let her take care of her. But see, we can't stand strong in the Lord and then chop down the foundation of the church and the church people. We can't stand strong and butcher the pastor. We can't stand strong and criticize the music man up there. I mean, what good is that? We're worshiping God. He needs to turn that up. What's the purpose in that? We can't stand strong in the Lord. You know what? We're double-minded. And when it comes to us, we're real double-minded. Because what is good, what we can do, we don't want nobody else to get away with it. I need my mirror. All right, now I'm ready to go to Romans. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 13. He said, let us walk honestly. Not just honestly with each other, but honestly with ourselves. Honestly with ourselves. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, we cannot stand strong in the Lord. We can't. And we need the power of His might to help us to forgive. But unforgiveness, and you know, times we hide it. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We do hide it. I can imagine if Pastor come in this morning and he said, stop the music, raise your hand if you are harboring unforgiveness toward others or yourself. I'd have to believe that a lot of people would stand up. Because it's one thing we don't want to admit, but we do it. But he said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. See, rioter, that's me. Not no more, in drunkenness, in chambering, in wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now, I'll be honest with you, I told my husband, I said, this part here, I won't use that scripture too much because I'm talking to the core people. Usually it's the people who come to Sunday school that are, we'll move on. But we'll stop right here at the not in strife or envying, because as Christians sometimes we'll toy with that sin more. You ain't got to worry about me going to the liquor store is what I'm saying. But one of my problems will probably be strife and envy. Christian sins is what I call them. Because that's one thing we deal with, strife and envy. You ain't got to worry. We're not going to go to that part of town. But in our mind, we'll go to another place. And we'll think it's all right. Sometimes it'll become second nature to us. Because when it comes to it, we don't feel any conviction in that area. You know, I don't feel any conviction when Pastor Dan's talking about the thoughts in my head. Because I'm like, well, that's just a thought. Well, you know, if you date that thought long enough, you'll start planning it out. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. He said, not in strife and envying. He said, let us walk honest. Honest. Honestly. Then he says in 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, you know, you don't know how to put, you can't put on the Lord Jesus if you don't put off the old man, and you don't know how to put off the old man till you know the characteristics of the old man. And you don't know the characteristics of the old man till you read the Bible. Until you see yourself for who you really are, you can't lay off the old man. I think sometimes we like the old man. Because you know what? We'll go back to the old ways. Now, I'm guilty. Look, hey, I told Pastor Dan Sunday, I said, oh, that was great, and I'm going to put it in effect tomorrow. And he was like, Sister Tammy, tomorrow? I was like, yeah, I go to work tomorrow. Sunday pretty breezy, ain't it? You know, we get the Holy Ghost in here. We're like, oh, this has been so good. We go home, eat some chicken. And we're like, man, this feels so good. And we don't have it. I'm not tempted to do anything on Sunday except eat and sleep. But now come Monday, when my husband wakes me up and tells me it's time to get up and go to work, that's when I need Pastor Dan to kick in the door with that karate stuff. Sister Tammy, get up, quit that whining. Get ready for work. Get a better attitude. Come on. I need him to ride beside my car. You can do it. Overcome evil with good. That's what I need. Now, Big Mama needs a cheerleader. But I got one built on the inside. If I just listen to him, it's the Holy Ghost. If I would make more provision for the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't get in trouble so much. But I'm always making provision for this old flesh right here. I need to make provision for the Holy Ghost. I ought not just give my part so quick. I ought to say, no, 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 no. Because I'm going to tell you, the enemy, he don't care if you go his way or your way, long as you don't go God's. In a decision, whether you ought to go out with it, and I'm not, we're all married over here. I don't know who's married over here. But in a decision, when we want to go out with somebody or not, we ought to ask God. And then when he says no, we ought to say, amen. Amen. Let's don't push it. Let's don't date the enemy. Because, so look here, you go patty finger and eye in the enemy, and then you really got problems. Huh? And then, look, there's times I ask God stuff, he tells me no. No. One time I thought I was doing a great job at this place. I really did. I mean, I was giving cookies to myself. Girl, you are good. And then out of the blue, the Lord said, put your book up. What? What? Yeah, put your book up. So I take my book and I put it in the closet and shut the door and I go to crying. My husband lost water. He said, put my book up. Why? I don't know. I got a phone call that later and they said, we don't want you back. And I cried because God had tried to prepare me. That's what he wants to do. He wants to try to prepare us. He's talking this morning, trying to prepare you for something. Don't block up your ears because you don't like me. Unblock your ears because you love Jesus and you want to do the right thing. We need to do the right thing. We're Christians. We need to do the right thing. I don't care if you're 12 or you're 90. You need to do the right thing, and the Lord wants to tell us what the right thing is, but we make up our mind we're going to do it. I'm doing it my way, and I'll marry who I want to marry, and I'll work where I want to work. I'll buy that car, and I'll pay payments on it, and I'll use that credit card all I want to. All right. But you won't be able to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And, honey, I'm telling you, one day you're going to say, I wish I'd have listened, because that way I could have stood strong in the Lord back then and in the power of his might. But we don't. We do what we want to do. If you want an education, you can get it if that's what you want. Hey, they got means now, ways that you can get it. But he said, put on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And you know, a lot of times when we think of lust, we think of that other word. But you know, we can lust after other things. We can lust after somebody else's career. We could lust after this position. I think I could be a better pastor. I think I could be a better deaconer. Boy, I bet you I could greet people better than that. We do. We start lusting after people's possessions. We start lusting after people's people. Walk out in that car lot, there's some nice cars. If you ain't careful, you'll be lusting after somebody else's car till you see the payment book. Hallelujah. I think we ought to get the bill long before we get the car. Huh? If you really wrote them numbers down on a piece of paper, you'd be like, oh, no. I'm going to go to Bob's. You can buy it cheap here. I'm going to buy my friend's car. They got it for $200. Because in my mind, if you can't put the money over to the side now, you surely ain't going to be able to put the money to the side later. And if you can't put $230 over to the side now, don't go buy it. Don't buy it. If you can't pay cash for it, let it go. Let it go. So you can stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But it's when you start to make that decision that you need to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's decision time. It's decision time that we have to make our choice, and we have to pray. Pray. When does it ever hurt to pray? Pray always. Pray, always pray. Every time that something comes up, you got to, in the morning when you wake up, pray. What would you have me to do this morning? Help me with my faults. Help me to see mine long before I see hers. Help me to work on my marriage before I try to fix somebody else's. Help me to work on my relationship with you before I critique somebody else's relationship with you. Help me have love for the people of God. Help me love them like I love my own family. If we could go to Ephesians 4. And you know, when I first got saved, I read this here, neither give place to the devil, and I had no idea what that meant. They might as well have been speaking French because I didn't know it. I was like, don't give place to the devil. A place at the table, a place at the chair, a place in my car? What did this mean? But you know what? It's in reading the whole chapter. Hey, why not just read the whole book? Over and over and over. Over till you get it. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost is a counselor, and he wants to counsel you, and he wants to bring back to your memory the things that you was taught and you read. But if you don't read it, he can't bring it back to your memory. We want to walk in the power of His might, but we don't know anything about it. Sadly enough, some people don't even... I was asking this lady to come to church, and she said, I've been going to Sunday school for 40 years. And I was like, okay, I've never heard of that in my life, that you just go to Sunday school and you don't go to church. I've never heard of it. But I tried to keep a straight face and not cross my eyes like, what? And then later on, her and her husband wanted to make me this little wood craft of Jesus, you know, carved out with this wood thing. And she come to me and she said, where is John 3:16 in the Bible? Now, thank God somebody else was standing there. I would act stupid. I said, well, let's go look. But in my mind, I was thinking, 40 years you went to Sunday school and you can't find John 3:16? See, something happened, didn't it? Something happened. She didn't have a spark plug. Something didn't connect. After 40 years of Sunday school, Paul would have said, you ain't teaching it by now? You still in Sunday school 40 years and you don't know where John 3:16 is? It's embarrassing, but it was her words, not mine. And the Bible says you got to watch your words because your own words will condemn you. Let's see. If it be that you have heard him and not been and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus... As the truth is in Jesus, the truth is in Jesus. But you know, if we don't read his word, we won't know what the truth is, and we won't know that it's in Jesus. And if we don't help people to see that it's in Jesus, they won't know that it's in Jesus. They'll think it's in going to Sunday school for 40 years. They'll think it's in going to Sunday school and getting a lapel pin for going to Sunday school. But I say the greatest sign that you could ever show for going to Sunday school is knowing the Word of God. What Sunday school teacher wouldn't be thrilled if you knew the Scripture? What pastor wouldn't be thrilled? What spouse would not be thrilled that you knew the Bible? Listen, when you married or you're dating somebody, that's one thing you need to have in common, the Word of God. Hey, nothing brings me and my husband closer together than we start talking about the Bible. It puts us on the same field. Whatever we was discussing before is put to the side. Now we're talking about Jesus. Our relationship done went to the flesh. We done went in the spirit. And things change in the spirit. But you don't know it unless you don't read it. And you don't know it if you don't read it and then try to walk it out. You don't want to be a man that looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets. I don't want to forget. And he said that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And how do we put off the old man? And how do we put on the new man? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And it's faith. Faith. It is faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm just telling you, not that I just teach Sunday school. I teach every Wednesday at a place, and we need it. Well, I really ain't learned a drop in the bucket. And if you've been doing it for 40 years, maybe you ain't learned a drop in the bucket either. But it's because we hear it and don't walk it, or we hear it and we apply it to somebody else's life. Boy, my brother really needs that. No, you really need that. I really need that. I need that. I need him to convict me of my sin, not anybody else's sin. I need conviction of my sin, and then I need to repent of my sin and mind my own business. Amen. But how are we going to stand strong in the Lord, my brethren? How are we going to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might if we don't walk it out? Because listen, I can say scripture all day long. We could stay here all night till somebody fell through the roof. But if you don't apply it to your heart, it's just words falling in your ear. And if you don't think it's for you, it ain't going to do you any good, or it ain't going to do anybody else in your life any good. But you know how people come to Jesus is they watch you. They watch what you do. And they don't watch you in church where your skirt's flowing around and the Holy Ghost is... No, 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 no. They're watching you at your job. Well, we'll see what she does. All them clothes on. We'll see how she handles this trouble. We'll see if he can keep his mouth shut. We'll see if he don't start chopping down the ladder of somebody else's success. We'll see. We'll see if she can encourage them not to riot, but to keep working as unto the Lord. That's what they're looking at. That's what they're looking for. Hey, pastor says we need the inward to be like the outward. It needs to match up. Amen? But you know, it is possible to walk this way. It is possible, finally, my brethren, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It is. And you know what? We need to make sure that when God asks us the question, that it's the question that he asked in the book of John. During hard times, are you going to walk away too? Well, I'd rather hear that question than where are you? Where are you in your walk? Where are you walking to and who are you walking with? We'll pray. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've done this morning, how good you are. But we need your help. It will matter tomorrow, God. It will matter tomorrow. When we go in that job, we're confronted, the phone rings. And we wake up, God, and there it is, the rubber meeting the road, God. Help us. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to read your word. Give us a desire, God, to follow after you and follow after holiness. And remember your word and to walk it out, Jesus. We love you and give you thanks for all that you've done. How wonderful you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen.